Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I would like to welcome you to another session of the Strategically Prophetic Radio Show, and I'm your host, Calvin D. Ward. And tonight's show, the topic of tonight's show is on the science of demonic possession. The science of demonic possession. So if you hear anything that you would like to call in and comment on, if you hear anything that you would like to just come in and mention something on, or if there's something that you would like to have emphasized a little bit more, just call in and let us know. At any point in time where you cannot hear me, please let me know. We have the chat room is open. You can either call in or you can put a little note in the chat room. I'll try to keep up. If I don't answer your phone call, charge it to my head, not my heart. Charge it to that 18-inch distance there. So charge it there. So now I'm just going to get right into the show. Now, tonight we are talking about demonic possession here. And I want to get into this because in order to really delve into this subject like I want to, we need to understand demons, and we need to understand their origins, and we need to understand how we can recognize them. Now, I'm just going to give a little background on demons, and I'm going to give you some information on how the Catholic Church sees demons, and it's going to help you understand how the world sees demons and why the world is in this quote-unquote romantic relationship when it comes to demons and witches and witchcraft, or when it's really just they're in love with the spiritual realm, but the spiritual realm that's open to them the most is the demonic realm. And so we're going to get into that on tonight. Now, before I actually get into that, I just want to make a comment and read something on a set of script. Now, I did a School of the Prophet. If you look at the shows that we have listed here, you will see SOTP, that's School of the Prophets, Enoch School of the Prophets. I did an empowerment session one, and I did an empowerment session two. Now, on empowerment session one, actually, I want to go back, not just empowerment session one. There's a session that is on the broadcast here where we were talking about, where I was talking about angels and demons and giants and UFOs. And one of the things that sparked me to talk about that subject was the mentioning of the Euphrates River drying up. Now, the book of Revelation, chapter 16, mentions that the river Euphrates is drying up. If you would go and look at that right now, look that up on the internet, you will see that the Euphrates drying up right now. But it also was used in ancient times because it was a river that kind of protected Babylon or that area, and it was used in ancient times. If you got control over it, if you were able to, if you were able to get control of it, if you had a stead of it, you had protection over it, control over it, guard over it, then you could control it just like you could control a port, and it was a major access route to Babylon. But I want to just read some information on that. And caller, I see you. I'm going to ask you to hold on 1 second. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm going to answer this call, and then we're going to get into the show. But Revelation 16 and verse 12, and it says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walketh naked and they see his shame." I just want to make a couple things about this scripture. We are close. We are living in the end times right now. One translation that some might take to the scriptures that the kings of the east, some say, well, the Euphrates River is going to dry up so that China can come over to make war against Israel, because the Bible mentions that here and it talks about Megiddo. I just want to throw one revelation of that out there. There's another revelation that says that the kings of the east, the east was always a place where the temple was faced, of course, and that's where they, that was a focus of the worship, even in the Jewish sect. So the East also represented the coming in of knowledge, the coming in of the sciences. Of course, we know astrology was held at that time. So another translation can be is that the Euphrates River is dried up. Symbolically, access to Babylon is now able to be made, and that the kings of the East represents the coming in of knowledge, all this astrology and all of these different types of quote-unquote sciences, and that when this knowledge and all these sciences come in, that it makes it comes in, and that the Euphrates River, which represents access to Babylon, that all of that is opened up. And so today we have Scientology, and we have all of these sciences that are trying to come in through a floodgate to try to eradicate God. And so that's just another translation of that. I just want to throw that out there for you. And I want you to go back to that passage of scripture yourself, and we want to hear what you have to say on that. I'm about to answer one. I'm going to answer this caller right now. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I was just sitting here getting fed. I'm a fellow teacher as well, and I just appreciate, you know, what you're teaching, because God has been leading us into speaking about, you know, the end times and the signs and the wonders and things like that, and it's not a time to be running around, because he says in Matthew 24 and 25, or earlier in Matthew, though, chapter 24, he says, to be ye not troubled. And Jesus himself goes along to tell us about all these crazy things going on in the world now. Amen. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm just going to sit here and continue to get fed.
All right. Well, man, before you go, what is your name?
This is Minister Robin Lynn.
So, Robin Lynn, what church do you attend?
I attend Embassy of Christ Church International in Renton, Washington.
Well, I would like to thank you for calling in. I would like to thank you for your comment. Thank you for listening in, and always feel free to call in. And if there's any topics that you would like to, for us to talk about, I mean, feel free.
Oh, you're already talking about it, and I really commend you, because not many people are speaking about that. You know, everybody wants to feel good, and a lot of us are where we're falling into that, you know, and preaching good,
awesome,
good feel-good sermons and things. Amen.
Amen. Well, I would like to thank you and appreciate it, and keep tuning in.
I will, sir, and God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Be blessed. You are on air on the Strategically Prophetic Show. This is Calvin Ward. How are you doing tonight? Hello? Can you hear me? Caller, you are on the air. Okay, we had a caller who was on the air, and we lost them. We hope you will call back. But I wanted to mention as a revelation before I get into demonic possession, because revelation, what we need to understand is that these things in revelation, you're not just to see them, just, you know, you're not just going to see angels just flying in the air and all of these angels pouring out their wrath. These things are symbolic, but they're also literal. They're happening in the physical realm, but the Bible is literal. The Bible is also symbolical and allegorical, and it's up to the prophets and the apostles, or it's up to people who have the discerning spirit of the Lord, not just us, yeah, the Holy Ghost, to actually interpret those things. Caller, you are on the air. Hopefully I can get you this time. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Caller. Okay, so Revelation chapter 16, when it talks about this, the emphasis on that was that there were four cherubim who were locked under those rivers. Babylon, the Euphrates River, is drying up right now. We have Pakistan making remarks. People are getting access to nuclear weapons. You have Korea acting up. You have that whole area in the East acting up right now. And it's kind of funny that the Bible is letting us know that out of the seven angels that were pouring their wrath out, the sixth angel kind of describes where we are right now. So this is really not a time for us to be holding back true doctrine, or holding back the revelation and the power of the prophetic word. We need to be teaching people, and we need to be getting them ready. And one way we can do that is to let them know and understand demons. Now, let's get directly, and I want you to, before I get into that, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, and I'm going to recommend a book for you. It's called Revelation Explained. Now, some of y'all might not agree with some of these books, but there's a publishing house called Kessinger Publishing. They print what are called rare mystical reprints. And one of the books that they have is Revelation Explained by F.G. Smith. I recommend you go get it. Another book that they have out about the book of Revelation is by Van Impey called Revelation Revealed. So I suggest that you go get those as references on Revelation, as well as reading the Word and letting the Spirit of God reveal to you what He is saying. Now, on the topic of demons, what we need to do is, Dave, there needs to be an understanding on actually what a demon is. And see, the problem that we do have today is the church. I've been in churches, and I go places, and I've been in, maybe because of my job, it's taken me across the world, all the way from Hawaii to Louisiana to Texas to Chicago to the Arabia and different parts of the world. I'm able to see how the church operates in different parts of the world. And so, you know, I say what I say. I'm not just talking out the side of my neck, but it's from observation. And a lot of people, I found that we have a lot of people in the church that are religious and they're ministers. They have titles, but they're not spiritual, because you have to be spiritual in order to be able to recognize a demon. Now, the word demon, you have daimon and daemonian, excuse me, daimon and daemon from the Greek for the word demon. In Latin, you have daemonium. And I'm probably jacking those names up, but I just wanted to give you those terminologies. So you have two words in the Greek, and you have one in the Latin. Now, according to, historically, and I'll take it from the, I'm coming from a Catholic Church perspective, from their histories and from their encyclopedia, demons are basically evil spirits and fallen angels, coming from the Catholic perspective or point of view on it. So they're evil spirits or they're fallen angels. And the word that you have is demon and devil, which are being used interchangeably. Now, in the Bible, the word diabolos is usually referring to Satan himself. So you have one major devil, and then you have lower devils. Now, these demons were also used in ancient times. And when you do the history of ancient cultures, they believe demons were described as being a sect of spiritual beings that were of a lower order, who came between gods, plural, and men. So this is where you have your, you know, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, your G-O-D, lowercase G-O-D-S, your gods in the plurality. And so they believed that these gods were lower natured beings who got in between the affairs of men and the gods. Now, the reason you have the gods in plural, because when you do the history, you understand that the ancient mystery religions of the East, and there we go again, the kings of the East representing the knowledge or the mysteries or representing the scientists, because the East had more knowledge, you know, pertaining to the world, pertaining to natural sciences. Of course, astrology was a heavy science back then, so they had more knowledge. But you had these ancient mystery schools who believed that God, they believed in a monad, and talk about, in, you know, Pythagoras, and, you know, was no him in the Pythagorean room, but you're talking about Greek thought. But they got a lot of their thought from Egypt, from Kemet, which is where the first university was. They got a lot of their thought from there, because the pyramids were already built based off of master mathematical knowledge and capabilities. But they believe in a monad, which means it's a divine unity. They believe that there is one God. So logically and philosophically, you know, the philosophers, the mathematicians, you know, you understand that the theologians, they believe that there is one God, because it's common sense. It's the only logical, rational answer, that there's one God, there's one entity, there's one intellect, you know, there's one sentient being or energy that is devised. I mean, you know, when you look at a building, the building didn't build itself. Someone made the blueprint, and it took somebody behind the blueprints to implement those blueprints to build what has come to be built as a building. So they understood that, but they believed that the masses did not understand God in His fullness. So what they did, they broke down what they call, they broke down the complicity of God into many different aspects, and they claimed that they broke it down so that the masses could understand God better. But it was all, but God was also broken down into many parts, so not just so the masses could understand them better, but so that the people who are in these religious sects could control the masses, because they could control what they think. The Bible says, as the man thinketh, so is he. Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. Your thoughts and your words are connected together, so they could control how people thought. Basically, if you can control how somebody thinks, you can control what they prophesy over their own lives. Therefore, you still maintain control over them. So that was one of the real aspects. So when you talk about these demons now, this philosophy has given way of these demons to come into the intellect, or to come into the philosophy and theology of the human race, and begin to move in its own interest. Now, before you, when you talk about demons or demonology, ology comes from the Greek word logos. You know, study that word logos is difficult in the Greek. It's not just the word; it's pattern, concept. It's a difficult. It's a multiple meaning word in the Greek, but we only take it to refer to, Christ. More correctly, it's also referred to be, you have the rhema word and the logos word. The logos is the written word. The rhema word is the prophetic or the spoken word coming from the intellect or the revelation or the migration of the mind of God to the mind of man. So when we're talking about demons, there is a necessity to understand what is the true origin of demons. And this is where you have to have your foundation. Now, go to Genesis chapter 6, because what we're going to do is actually go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try lay a foundation. Because in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to go over this slightly. I think I talked about this a little bit when I talked about the properties of thought. But we're going to go in here to Genesis chapter 1, lay a foundation for biblical demonology and angelology, the study of demons, the study of angels, the doctrine of demons or the doctrine of angels. The book Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. From this, I'm one of the theologians that understands and get that when God creates something, that God creates it perfectly. First of all, God didn't say anything, he just created. So the thing here lets you know that God created with a thought. He created everything in existence by his mind. Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning. It was just like that. Your thoughts, if they could be measured, would be just like that in the twinkling or in the blink of an eye. So I understand that God created the earth and everything there is with his thoughts. This is why Paul emphasizes that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts above the knowledge of Christ. This is why Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in the form of God, thought it not to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. So you understand from Genesis 1, God created with his mind. Creation with the mind, creation with your thoughts. Write the vision down, make it plain so that they that read it can see it and run. Creation with your thoughts is the image of God on your life. So we understand that. And we understand that everything God makes, he makes perfect. Verse 2 says, the earth was formless and void and dark over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. From here, I'm of the class of theologians that believe in a theory called the gap theory, that if God made something perfect, why is it now in derision? And this is where, according to Revelation chapter 12, and if you can move to Revelation chapter 12, because we want to kind of study the Bible systematically if we can here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child, and she cried, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Verse 3 is the emphasis here. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems. And verse 4 is the emphasis. Verse 4 is emphatic. And this is what it says. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and drew them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. This says that his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and drew them to earth. Whose tail? The great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns is also, it's mentioned throughout Revelation. It's also mentioned in the book of Daniel. Prophetically, it always represented Satan, who is called the prince of the power of the air, but the god of this world. So it represents that Satan controls this world through a satanic, economic, Babylonian system, and that he had a third of the stars. Stars is another terminology that's used in the Bible to represent angels, and he threw a third of the stars of heaven down to earth. Back to Genesis chapter 2. This is that the earth was void. This is where the earth was sent into derision. And then we have verse 3, and God said. This is where we see God first speaking after everything was created, letting us know that he didn't create with his mouth. He created with his thoughts. He spoke to put things back in order by giving instructions to that which he created, because every particulate item, every neutron, proton, quark, every packet of vibrations called quanta, everything in existence recognizes authority. And he begins to speak to what was already created, and the angels who hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord as it is spoken through holy men, they hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord because they are ministers to those who are heir to salvation. How much more they are ministering servants of God. They begin to heed to the word of God, and they begin to reorganize and restructure what God had always already created and put it back in divine order. And we see in Genesis verse chapter 1, and we're going to go down to verse 26, that after God put these things in order, he said, then let us make man in our image. Who is our? A lot of people say our is the terminology Elohim, representing the majestic plurality of the Trinity. But we have to use systematic theology to understand the Bible. You cannot place the Trinity in the Old Testament because the Trinity is a New Testament revelation. So though it existed, though it might have existed, it's a New Testament revelation. You must translate the Bible with the Bible. So when we see the plurality or this plural subject noun use here, pronoun use here, when we see it here, we cannot assume it's talking about the Trinity. The only entities that we know are in existence from this point is God and his angels. So when he says, let us go down and make man in our image, he wants to go down and make man in the image of himself, and which is, God is a spirit. They that worship him in the spirit and truth. So he's not talking about any physical attributes. So I'm going, he's not talking about any physical attributes. He's talking about holy scripture attributes. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them, talk about man. So he said man in singular, but he said, let them in plural rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then it says, verse 27, God made man in his image. So after God recognized everything that was sent into derision by the fall of Satan and the third of these angels, after he reorganized everything, we see in Genesis that he made man. Why did he make man? He made man to keep the earth in order so that the earth order of the earth would not go into derision again. Do you understand that? So he made man so that the earth would not go back into derision. And then after he makes man, he places man in the Garden of Eden. Now, understanding demons is key to understand Genesis. I'm going to warn you right now, you're going to hear some revelation about Genesis that you probably never heard before, but it's in our scriptures. To really understand God, you must have a Hebrew understanding of your scriptures, a Judaistic understanding of the revelation behind the scriptures. So here in Genesis, he makes man, then he takes man and places him in the garden. Now, in the garden, you have two trees. Now, before I begin to talk about the trees that were in the garden, I need you, because we're going to translate the Bible with the Bible, I need you to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, because we're going to translate the Bible with the Bible and go to Psalms, chapter 1. And verse 1, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3, here it goes. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water. We see here that the Bible compares a man to tree. I want you to go right now to the book of John, if you have your Bibles, and go to the book of John, chapter 15, chapter verse 1. Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in it that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Here we see Jesus is comparing men to trees. Jesus is comparing himself to trees, and he compares the fruit that we bear, or our deeds, or our actions, or our words. So everything that proceeds from the spirit of man in word and in deed is referred to as a fruit. We even talk about the fruit of the spirit as being fruit. And lastly, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And if you can turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and we're going to see there for our scripture we're going to use to base our revelatory description on, just because you need to get this foundation to really understand this message. Proverbs 18, verse 21, and it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue in the earth realm. You do not kill anything in the spirit realm by way of your words. Your words are for the earth realm to give instructions to that which is already made, because there is nothing new under the sun. So when you decree and declare and prophesy, you're giving instructions to this physical realm. That's what that is talking about. You create with your mind, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as you think, so are you. So we know that's where the creation is. So we know fruit is compared to your deeds or your words. God makes man, places him in the garden, and says there's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now I'm going to ask you, now that we know that trees are compared to men, or trees are compared to sentient beings or spirit beings, what is the only spirit other than the spirit of God that could have been in the Garden of Eden that knew both good and evil? This tree of knowledge of good and evil, people, was Satan. And Satan was the only one who could know evil, because he was so kicked from the heights. He was cast down into the earth realm. The tree of life, of course, represents the spirit of the Lord. But he said, do not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did Eve do? Talking about fruit, she ate of that fruit. This is not a literal fruit, but she ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She listened to what this entity had to say. And when she listened to it, Jesus said, to whom you obey, that is your master. Those are your masters whom you listen to. And when she listened to him, he became the God of this world and the prince of the power of this air, and sin entered the world through disobedience. And this is where we have demonic presence in the earth realm. So now that we have laid that foundation, for the next couple of minutes before we go on a break, I'll go to Genesis. Now you have the foundation. The earth was cast down. The earth went into derision. We structured the earth. Man here to prevent it from going into derision again. Told man, do not listen to this entity that is in the garden. The woman listened to him, brought him over to the man, and now they obeyed him. This entity now has authority in the earth realm, because before that point, man had authority. Now that they listened to him, they gave up their authority. And so that brings us to an understanding of why man was created. And so when we go over to Genesis chapter 6, it says, now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, and that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and took wives for themselves. This terminology, sons of God, is a New Testament terminology, but we have to use the Bible, translating the Bible. In the Old Testament, the terminology sons of God was used three times. It's used here in Genesis 1. It's used in the book of Job chapter 1. And it's also used in the book of Daniel when it talks about there was one likened to the son of God who was in the fire. Terminology sons of God in the Old Testament always referred to angelic hosts. It never referred to Christ, and in this instance, it did not refer to the righteous line of Seth, as some theologians would have you to believe. There's no proof of that. And translating the Bible with the Bible, we see that it is the more correct relation that understanding that these were angels who came down to earth, and they had children with the daughters of men. When the Bible says, in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Genesis, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Then the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. Look up the word Nephilim. The Nephilim is a word that was used in the Hebrew to refer to giants. Giants were in the earth in those days. And also afterward, according to the Bible, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and bore children to them, it tells you where the giants came from. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. This is where you have your histories and your mythologies of men who had superhuman powers. Hello, demons have superhuman powers. But this is where you have your origin of men that have superhuman powers. But let's read on here. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart, and the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, and man to animals and creeping things into the birds of the sky, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What God decided to do now that these angels have mixed the seed of the heavenly hosts with the seed of man and created these giants who were plaguing the earth, and they perverted the secrets of heaven down into the earth, according to the book of Enoch, which is quoted in the book of Jude. So now what we have is God saying, I need to purge the earth. So we have the antediluvial generation here before the flood, antediluvian, the deluge was the flood, antediluvial, talking about the civilization existed before the flood, and God has almost purged them. So here we have God, King Noah, and he's going to purge the earth of these giants and of these beings. And so we have the flood. Now, when the flood comes, now we're about to get to the point that we need to get to, because when the flood comes, these giants who are in the earth, because they were made of, they were a strange flesh. They were combined of angelic hosts and of humans. Their spirit could not receive judgment immediately until the consummation of all things. So when the flood happened, their bodies or their flesh was destroyed. That's why the book of Revelation says the sea will give up its dead. Lord, have mercy. And their bodies were destroyed, but their spirits were to stay in the earth realm and be known to men throughout the generations as evil spirits, according to the book of Enoch. But we see this in the Bible, and we see that their spirits are still in the earth as evil spirits. So you have two classes of entities. And this is why it is key to know, because those Catholic Church calls demons fallen angels. Yes, there are fallen angels, but according to the Bible, they were locked up in Tartarus to receive judgment. This is why Paul said, "Know ye not that you shall judge angels?" So we're taking each other to court. He said, y'all got to judge angels at the end. So we're going to, these angels are locked up for judgment because of what they did. Those are the fallen angels. The ones that fell are locked up for judgment. But these giants who once had bodies, their bodies were destroyed, but their spirits are still in the earth realm awaiting the last judgment. These are the spirits that are known to man as evil spirits. These are the class of spirits that are called disembodied spirits. These are the same spirits who did those damnable deeds before the flood. And when God destroyed their bodies, their spirits still stayed in the earth realm awaiting judgment. And these are the same disembodied spirits who try to possess human bodies or spirits, because they are trying to get a body so they can do those same deeds that they did before the flood now. And this is your origin of demons. So you have your fallen angel locked up for judgment, but the fruit of their demonic union with humans created this different class of spirits who are still awaiting judgment called your demons. And this is where we have demons in the Bible. This is where you have demons in the earth realm and the doctrine concerning demons. And what we're going to do, we're going to continue on from there and talk about that, because we're going to continue talking about that, because the thing is, with these demons, and we're going to take a quick break here, but the thing is, these demons are still here, and these are the entities that the Bible talks about as demons. So they want to plague humankind. Now we're going to get into demons and how they interact with humans when we come back from this short break.
When you could never walk in my shoes. There ain't nothing like holding on the bars of steel, being locked in a cell and slid your meal, hearing yells all night cause the noise don't cease while you trying to find peace in the...
All right, I want to welcome you guys back to the show. We left off making a biblical basis for the real demons and a rationalized basis for their purpose. So we're going to get into that on the second half of the show. It'll probably extend over, so if the show stops for 60 minutes, we'll keep going. It'll probably be another hour and a half show, so we'll just make it happen. Okay, I want to welcome you guys back to the second half of the show. So we made a biblical case for demons are disembodied spirit. Now we know why they want to possess us. And so now with demons, now we know why they want to possess us. We know that the chief among them, we know Satan, the one that was cast down from the heights. And we understand now that he drew a third of them down here with them, and that of the fallen class, they had some children by a mixing of the human seed with the angelic host. Now we understand we have disembodied spirits that are in the earth realm. Now Satan has been cast down to the earth, and he has been cast down to the earth with this third of the angels that we mentioned. And we talked about those. Now I need to make a distinction. Of the third of the angels that was, see, Satan was cast down with a third of the angels. Of that third of the angels, there was a group that decided to mix with humankind. And so you now have a group of fallen angels who are in the atmosphere, and you now have a group of disembodied spirits who are in the atmosphere. And so collectively, they make up one body of demons. Again, you have a group of the fallen angels who fell down. Of them, a certain group decided to mix with humankind and breed and make these giants. When God brought judgment, now you have these spirits of these giants left in the earth realm with the spirits of these fallen angels, because they are going to receive judgment at the consummation of all things. So you now have this one group called demons. Now, of the fallen angels, we see fallen angels trying to receive worship through the pagan faiths. These are your principal spirits. These are your archons, your rulers, your matrons. These are the principal spirits who wish to receive worship. And see, we need to understand that the fallen angels as demons wish to receive worship unto themselves and wish to be worshipped as God. And we see that the other class of demons, who are these giants, we see that these demons just want to possess people's bodies so they can worship, they can fornicate, so, you know, homosexuality, so they can do all these things that they did before. They're just a lustful or a lusty group of entities that just want to work evil deeds. They're not worried about receiving worship. They just want a body so they can do whatever they want to do and try to destroy mankind and run rampant because they know their judgment is swift. But these fallen angels want to receive worship as God in the earth. And so those are the two differences. Now, let's talk about, there are three types of activities that these demons will do. Demons, you have demonic obsession, you have demonic possession, and you have demonic oppression. Now, demonic obsession is when a demon attempts to attack a human's body from without. That's when a demon attempts to attack a human's body from without. Understand. You have demonic possession is when a demon tries to assume control from within. And then you have demonic oppression. Demonic oppression is you have the obsession, which is a demonic to attack the human from without. But the focus is directly, it's wholly mental. It's on their, it's directly on their mind. And so we have demonic obsession, possession, and oppression. So at this point, we know in the Bible, we see demons in the Bible. We see Jesus dealing with demons. So we know there are many demonic activities in the world. Some of our magicians are basically possessed by these demons. And we know in witchcraft. Now, witchcraft is an area where you have witches who basically make a pact or make an agreement or a covenant with the devil, quote unquote, or with these demonic spirits. And all they are given is, and they think they are given power, but all they are given is the temporary control or spiritual control over principal demons or principal spirits in the demonic realm. So in the demonic realm, you have the hierarchies of demons. And when you have a witch who claims to operate in certain powers, all he's given is temporary very control over a spirit, or this principality is allowing her or him to believe that they have authority over them, and in the end, they reverse that authority. This is why you have witches being attacked, witches being killed. This is why you have people waking up with scars on their body because they're being attacked at night by these demons. You have all sorts of things happening. And so when we look into the Catholic faith, when they talk about exorcism, and we're going to talk about exorcism, I have nothing against the Catholic. Well, I take that back. There are a couple of things that they do and practice that I don't agree with. I don't think it's biblical. But what I do want to emphasize is that their rite of exorcism, their rite of exorcism is the ancient witchcraft rite to exorcism. And so by the word exorcism in itself, by definition, it means to cast out by incantation or by a spell. To cast out by incantation or by a spell. And so we know as Christians and believers, you do not exorcise demons. You don't cast out demons by a spell or by an incantation. For when you try to do so, what we see happening here is with the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. We know the story of the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. They tried to use, and I want y'all to get this because we got a lot of people in the body of Christ. They tried to use Jesus' name as if it was a magic wand or as if it was an incantation or a spell. Because they saw the apostles used it and demons came out and they tried to use it. But when they tried to use it, Paul, we know. See, there is spiritual rank in the spirit realm. They recognized other people, but they didn't recognize the one that was using the name of Jesus. They said, we don't know you. Those demons, those seven sons of Sceva got tore up by these demons, giving us the information that we need to know pertaining to the spirit realm. Yes, in the spirit realm, there is rank. There is file and rank and order in everything in the universe. And so we see demonic possession in the Bible. Now, we see demons causing people to lose their speech. We see causing people to lose their sight. We see some places mentioned in the Bible where demons are mentioned and the person that has them. But, you know, there's no real distinction on what the origin of it was. Now, go to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to go to verse 17. We're going to go to Mark chapter 9, 17 here, and just going to glance over this. And it says, and one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it. Now, here we have a demon who is controlled. This is another form of obsession. And you see, this is a form of obsession. And most of the cases, they will come from without so they can gain possession. So they operate an obsession through the occultic practices, through use of Ouija, of the Ouija board, through use of tarot cards, through use of someone going to see a psychic, through use of non-belief. Non-belief is the real access by which these entities get in. Non-belief in Christ, but belief and faith in God. The Bible says anything is possible to that belief. It didn't say anything is possible to them that are saved. The Bible also says God gave dominion to man. He didn't just give dominion to those that are saved. So witches tap into that dominion that was given to them by God, and they pervert it through the use of spirits. And so we see here that a spirit can get a hold of you, and it will get hold of someone. And you can see this evidence today where our youth are listening to music, and spirits are being channeled through the music into their lives, and it is getting access to their minds through this music. And we are not wise. We need to be wise as a serpent and simple as doves, but we're not wise to understand access points by way spirits can gain access to us. And to the human body, And most people understand the empirical access points. And if you, I'm going to throw some books out here for you. If you read, there are some books out there on demonology or on demons. There's one book called Pigs in a Parlor. You can get that as a nice understanding about that. There are some other books with some prayers on it and talking about casting out demons, about some prayers that you can use. By Apostle John Eckhart. He was one of the ones, he was part of the prophetic presbytery that ordained me as a prophet. You can go get his books on, he has Prayers That Rout Demons. And he has a spiral version, which is a good version to have, but he also had a paperback, and he now has a hardback version. You can probably get that at Borders for about $15.95. But then you also have Cindy Trim. Cindy Trim has a powerful apostolic anointing. If there was ever an apostle that I would know, and she was really holding an apostolic anointing, and she had revelation on some warfare tactics in her book, Rules of Engagement. And, you know, there is another book also by the gentleman's name is Osekulio from Mountain of Fire Ministries, and he has a book of prayers that are just awesome. Look him up. But one gentleman that I want, two more that I want to emphasize would be Rob Parsley's Father in the Gospel, who is Lester Sumerall. He has a book and a workbook on demonology. But I also want to emphasize a gentleman named Win Worley. Win Worley has been a source of, Win Worley and Lester Sumerall, they have been some men who have had encounters with demons, and Win Worley's church, Hegowitz Church, and you can probably go to him. I want to give you a website to go to him. You can check him out. Look up Hegowitz Baptist Church, H-E-G-E-W-I-S-C-H, Baptist Church, and look up Worley. And if you go there, you can look him up and get some information. And this gentleman is where a lot of people today get their information when they talk about demons and casting demons out and this and use this and do it like this and do it like that. They get it from this gentleman, and he's little known, and he has a lot of books about demonic possession. But they get a lot of their information from him. But back to the Bible, we know that demons can possess people. Demons can cause sickness. Now, one of the key things to also understand about demons is that it is a knowledge. Science is a knowledge. Application of the knowledge towards a thing. You use science to get facts and information about a subject. We need to be aptly educated about demons and demons in the Bible. Though they can cause sickness, we need to be able to discern when this is, when there is, we need to know a bodily or physiological dysfunction from a demonic possession. When is it just an, you know, the body is just, you know, there's just something wrong with the body. There's a chemical imbalance or something wrong with the body that is causing something where you just need to prophesy over it and continue to speak to its future, or continue to speak to the atoms and continue to speak to where it is so that it can operate and function naturally, versus discerning that there is a demonic cause of this sickness, of this disease. And a lot of times, demons get access to humans when we disobey the will of God through sin, through, you know, bitterness. And, you know, a lot of the times the diseases that humans have are directly correlated with a disease. I like how Cindy Trim says, issues of the tissues, a disease that is in your soul. So when your soul is sick and diseased, your body tends to liken the same status of your soul. It tends to line up with the same status of your soul. So in demonic possession, it is key for the one who is trying to discern the spirit. You can initially discern that something is wrong and something is there. Now your second step is in prayer and observation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, having our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You should be able to discern evil. Okay, now God, what do I do? Is this coming from, is this just an overt demon? Or is this coming from something that's deeply rooted in that person's spirit? So finding the stronghold that the demon has a hold of. You can cast a demon out all day long, but if you cast a demon out and the person is not delivered, when it comes back, it's going to bring seven more. It's going to come back worse than it was before. This is why you see people getting worse and worse and worse in certain things, because they need to be counseled. We need to be able to gain control of the demon in them and talk to their, catch the person when they're in their right mind so they can understand what's going on, speak to the stronghold or the area in their life that the demon has latched onto. And then once we find that, we can begin to talk to that person, counsel them so they can have understanding. Understanding is the key to gaining authority in a certain area. Once a person has understanding of what's going on, and they have to have understanding so that we can have their will lining up with the will of God in this situation, so that now their will is opposing this demon as well as the word of God, and that combined will now with the faith of God, the power of God, and the word of God is what's going to allow us, or is what's going to allow that demon to be exposed or cast out. You can come to somebody and be fasted up, you know, all you want to. Unless you are at a certain level, for most of us, we have not gotten to that level where we are just fasted up, where we can say, come out, and the demon just comes out. Most of us have not gotten to that spiritual level yet. And for most of us, it's going to take a while. We can say, come out, and it's going to start to manifest, and we're going to have to work with it for a while before it comes out, because we're a little low on the anointing. That's on me, too. We all need to go on that 30, 40-day fast and purge. So when we say come out, it just comes out that self-same hour, and we don't have to worry about it. But most of us are going to have a situation where we're going to be dealing with it for a while. Psychics. We're going to talk about psychics. It's demonic possession. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Because we see in the Bible, these demons, though they possess humans, they cause illness, sickness, and disease. They mutilate the human body. And they also cause people to have supernatural powers. That's why you have your magician and these certain people on TV that can do certain things, because they're operating out of demons. And we need to know that demons can be passed down through lineage. Demons can be passed down through sex. This is why females and women are witches. This is why females are always used. This is why Paul talked about women being covered. And we don't like to get the spiritual authority behind that, but he talked about women being covered because demons like to deal with women first, because women can incubate that spirit and pass it out through their genealogy, through their children that they can have, and keep this thing going. And so this is why Paul said what he said, you know, the head of man is Christ, the head of Christ is God, the head of woman is man. And so there was a spiritual authority for that. There was a reason for Paul saying it. It was not just religious and dogmatic. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we're going to go down to verse 16, and we're going to talk here. And it says, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination. Now, divination is tapping the realm of the spirit. Okay, so you can tap the realm of the spirit Godward, or you can tap the realm of the spirit Satanward. So a spirit of divination most times is talking about somebody who is tapping, most of the times, it's talking about someone who is tapping the spirit realm to get what they, someone who is tapping the spirit realm to get information that is claiming to be above God or supra God. It's claiming to be above God, and it's illegal information because it was not gone through the correct route of God. So it's basically someone whose spirit is not purified to tap the spirit realm, the legal route, and they illegal gain control over life's issues, over people in life, and to get information so they can have control over their life, so they're thinking. We know any type of control or manipulation is witchcraft. So verse 16 says, this is the spirit of divination met us. The slave girl had it, who was bringing masters much profit by fortune telling. Here we have your psychics. You know, we talk about Sylvia Brown, Montel Williams has her on there. We have all these psychics up there. They say they were born with it. This is what they're doing. Some people say it's a prophetic gift that's perverted, but the devil, he is a liar. God calls you as a prophet, and he calls you as his prophet to bring his people to wishing. The fivefold ascension is not the fivefold ministry gifts, but those ascension gifts, because he ascended and gave gifts to the people. Those ascension gifts were for the perfection of the body, not for the perfection of the world. That includes the evangelist. All of those gifts were for the perfection of the body. So the prophetic comes to perfect the body. It does not come to perfect the world. And they're bringing their master, she was bringing her master much money. And they were following Paul and us. She kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. This spirit, even now, we know here that the demonic realm even claims, even backs up who Jesus is. It even backs up the spirit realm. They recognize men and God in the earth realm. They recognize you. This is why a lot of men and women of God are being oppressed by demons or are being seduced by sin, because they're trying to get access into your life where they can legally operate. This is why we are controlling our words. What does that scripture really mean? The power, life, and death is in the tongue. That scripture really means that in this earth realm, because that's what it's talking about, not the spirit, you think in this earth realm, because you only speak after, you only speak that which you see, you only speak your vision. But in the earth realm, the power of life and death, when you speak things that are ill will, when you speak things that do not align with the word, hello, Philippians, it tells us to think on these things. It didn't say speak these things. It says think on these things. I just said something right there. It said, whatsoever is true, pure, lovely, of a good report, praiseworthy. Think on these things, is what the scripture says. Not say these things. And before life and death, when you say stupid stuff, you know, oh, girl, you're so crazy, and you talk to your wife, or you talk to your child, you just like your dad, and his dad is in prison, and this, that, and the other, or you just like your mama, and this, that, and the other, or you so crazy, or you just stupid, or I love you to death. No, you love people to life. When you say stuff like that, because of the authority in your life, don't you know you have spirits who are the prince of the power, spirits who are under the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, his name is Beelzebub. Another epithet for Satan. Beelzebub is a terminology being translated, Lord of those who fly. Who are those that fly? These spirits that are in the atmospheric regions who are seeking access into your body, access to your mind. And when you speak these things, do you know a name for Satan is the slanderer? He is waiting to take what you say as a son of God and take it and bring it forth in the earth realm. So you have to continually speak the word of God. You cannot speak ill will things. You say, oh, you're so crazy, you stupid, you ugly. They are going to take what you say. And he's also called the accuser of the brethren. He's going to take what you say out of your mouth, bring it to the throne of God and say, God, your child said it. Now I legally have the authority to bring it to pass. This is why we must control our thinking, and your thinking controls what you say. And what you say out of your mouth is directly connected to what you see manifested in this physical world. And so we see here in Acts 16, she was bringing her master's money. She was making them rich. She was a psychic. And the Bible says she had a spirit of divination. And she proclaimed that these men that are giving you salvation, they know about it. But she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now, why did he let her do this for many days? Another story. He was greatly annoyed, and he said to the spirit, see, he didn't say to the girl, he said to the spirit. That's why you look people in your eyes when you're dealing with demons. Look them in their eyes. Anybody that you meet, shake their hand, but look them in their eyes. You are sending a spiritual message to their spirit. I'm not scared of anything that's down on the inside of you, and everything in you that's not like God, prepare and make way, because the anointing is about to make every crooked way straight. But he said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Now, verse 19, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And they brought them to the chief magistrates. They said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful to us except or observe being Roman. This is going to be the plot of Christians today, in a world that is continually accepting the Muslim faith, who are working through a spirit of fear, a spirit of terror, a spirit of witchcraft, a spirit of intimidation. They are trying to press on the world and trying to push it onto the world, and it is being worked behind the scenes to try to move the world into a one-world government. This is going to be the environment in which Christians are up against, because as you continually preach and decree and declare and legislate and prophesy the will of God in this earth realm, and you continue to walk forth and call a demon and cast out demons, when you go to a land region that is rife with unspiritualistic ways, and you begin to cast out demons, you begin to affect the social and the economic undertones of that society, and you begin to get on people's nerves, and you begin to change what they've been doing for years. And we know people do not like to change, and when you do, they're going to call people to come against you. This is the time you need to be strong in the Lord, be steadfast and unmovable. And the only way you can do that is to have a right understanding of demons and what you are dealing with, so you can recognize demons. Now, bringing this into the church, there are a lot of demons locked in the church that we don't even address. And if you call yourself a minister and you don't address demons and demonic warfare, you are in agreement with the demon. Therefore, the same judgment that that person will receive, you will receive, because you did not point it out. You did not say anything about it, though you recognized it. That means your spirit was in agreement with that spirit. Someone is homosexual and in the music department, your spirit is in agreement with that. Somebody's operating in witchcraft and control, your spirit is in agreement with that. And you are not saying anything, though it is wholly demonic. You are in agreement with that spirit, therefore you will reap and receive the same judgment. Witchcraft, the Bible tells us, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. The word suffer can be, but it also permits. You should not permit a witch to live. Now, I'm going to, this ends the live session. I'm going to continue this. If you want to stay on and listen to this, the rest of the session, I don't know if it will be live, but I'm going to continue to go on for a while. I've got about 1 minute remaining, and I'm going to go on with some more teaching. It'll probably be an hour and 30, so when it's finished, you'll be able to access the whole show. You might only have this 1 hour. So I thank you for tuning in and listening in. You can hit up the chat room and kind of stay connected. I can probably see you from there. But when we talk about demons, we need to understand that this is what's going on. Now, demons are highly organized. When the average Christian has no idea of the depth of Satanism, the depth of going on. You have people who have said that they used to be a witch. There was one story when I was in, and I'm telling you, when I was in Waukegan, Illinois, I would wake up in the night, and I would begin to pray. I'm going to take a caller that I had online before I give you guys that story. Caller, you are on air.
I think you may have me again, sir. It's Minister Robin Lynn. I just went from my computer to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I
you went from the, okay.
Yeah, so I could still follow. I'm moving about. So, you know, I tell you, God says in his word that his people perish for lack of knowledge. And
mm-hmm.
we need to know type of things so that we can walk around not willy-nilly, because we have power, but we can cause so much harm and damage and even open some doors. Amen. So you just keep right on teaching. I'm just being fed here, sir. Thank you very much.
We are on. It's not streaming, but we are still on. And like I told them, if there's anybody that wanted to come on in here and still wanted to make a comment or something, we are on, and we're not streaming, but we're still on. It's still recording, and the full recording will be available after the show. And again, you can download any session here, and you can get the CD, and you can go back and play it. And, you know, just call in. You know, you can call in, and I thank you for calling in, you know, and just testifying. It helps to know the information is helping people. And so that's what it's all about. Thank you once again for calling in.
Amen.
So on the topic of demons, and I'm going to tell you this story. I was in Waukegan, and I'd be awakened in the middle of the night about 12, between that hour. And it is a true statement that witches do pray in the night watches. This is Cindy Trent and some others, not just her, but before her, other people who had prayers out called commanding your morning. You have to be spiritual. Commanding your morning is decreeing and declaring in prayer what your next day is decreeing and declaring. I'm going to use some terminology here that I'm pulling the school of the prophets, but you may not understand it, but it's decreeing and declaring to the elementals. It's decreeing and declaring to the atmospheric regions, to the angelic host. It's decreeing and declaring to the atmosphere what it is that you will have. That's what it's about. It's commanding your morning is decreeing and prophesying for your morning what you will have in that day. Why is that crucial? Because someone who knows witches pray in the wee hours of the night, that midnight hour, that hour between that, or that section. That's why the between 12 at night, so to speak, and 3 in the morning. That's why they had different watches of the night when studying. There were different watches that the guys on the tower would have on the watchtower. The Book of Ezekiel chapter 3 talks about watchmen, and we really. And you pray against those things, but you pray against all of that. I hope I am still on, because I just had an error pop up here. So I hope I am still on here. Somebody please let me know whether I am. We're just going to continue on. Please tell me in the chat room if you are there, whether I'm still on or not. Let me know, am I on? So what will happen is these hours of the night, I begin to pray against witchcraft in the area. Well, what I begin to pray for that and you know, I was awake in the night praying for witchcraft, and then I ran into some information that just shocked me about witchcraft in the Milwaukee area and that whole area there, and the atmospheric regions and the demonic principalities that were in that area. So our prayers as prophets and apostles are targeted against different areas, so to speak. They are targeted. Our prayers are targeted against different areas, and they are targeted against places where witchcraft and the like are very rife. And one of the things that I found was that, you know, you have some people who become witches. And before they become witches, they be ordained as Catholic priests. they have to be ordained as priests. So, please bear with me here. I'm trying to make sure I'm still on air here. I hope that I am. Okay, I'm still on. Okay, thank you. Okay, so you have these demons who are, I found out that there was witchcraft here. I found out, and I ran into some information, that there was a bishop in Milwaukee area in the Catholic Church who ordained a gentleman in the satanic priesthood, or what they call the esoteric church in the Catholic denomination. And in order for him to ordain this guy as the Catholic priest in the esoteric church, he said he wanted to first be ordained as a satanic priest. And so I got some information on how deep this demonic witchcraft was. And Satan, because he's the prince of the power of the air, he has spirits that are in charge of each planet. He has spirits that are in charge of land regions on the earth. And those spirits have those are principality spirits. Those are archons, and they have imps, so they have devils and demons that are under them that are in charge of different things. And those smaller demons report up to the nine, and those nine report to the one. And so it's like a pyramid. And so Satan is very structured in what he does and how this world is organized. The Babylonian economic system is all organized like that also. Hitler was in the occult. People don't understand the depth of the demonic realm. And so it goes to say that when we obey the word of God and we would keep our eyes open and we stay deep into the word, we can see these things, and that you are seeing what you are seeing, so that you can pray and decree and declare against these things. And so demons are real. Demons are here. And we need to recognize them in the church. In the church, these demons present themselves. Demons like to merge themselves with the personalities of humans so as to hide themselves, to make themselves invisible. And so this is what happens when you see somebody and there's something about them that you don't like. You say, oh, it's just their personality. But no, there is a demon that can be lodged in their personality. People that do not want to change their ways and are stuck in their ways are and was old when God told him to get up and move. It is being stuck in your ways. Oh, you just old. Oh, you just don't want to change. You know what? Oh, you old. You don't want to change. That's a demon. This is why God cannot move in a lot of our churches. The voices of the prophets are being hindered and are being frustrated and stopped because they are getting the visions, revelations, and they are discerning and they are seeing in the church. And to share that revelation with the pastor, to assist that pastor in the administration of what God wants to do in that church. But he cannot do it all the time because people try to stop the voice of the prophet and stop the voice of the real apostle. Today, we have a demonic entity, apostles, who are calling themselves apostles, and they really are not. And we have a lot of fake prophets who are calling themselves prophets, and they really are not. So we really need to understand the doctrine of demons. I'm going to recap a little bit here. We talked about the book of Genesis. We talked about how God really created with his mind. We talked about how he restructured and reorganized with his mouth, how the image of God is the power to think. That's the real creation. Like the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We talked about how Satan fell. He was cast down behind the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the presence of Satan in the garden, and how Eve listened to him by listening to his fruit. The power of life and death is in the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, every tree. And in order for you to bear good fruit, you need to be pruned. We understand the fruit is related to any action or deed that comes from the spirit of man, which includes his words and includes his actions, his deeds, and his works. This is what the Bible says, that we will be accountable for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. We will be held accountable for that. And so that's a reason for that. And so going through that, coming through Genesis 6, we delineated that the sons of God, which is mentioned three times in the Old Testament, is not referring to in Genesis chapter 6 the righteous line of Seth, but it's referring to a group of angelic hosts out of the fallen angels who decided to come down and mix with mankind, and how they birthed another seed called giants, and how these giants were in the earth, and how God baptized the earth with the first baptism, killing all these giants and purging mankind, but that their spirits were disembodied spirits, and how these spirits maintained and they stayed in the atmospheric regions of the earth and space. They're in the atmospheric region. They walk among the stones being the planets, but they are in the atmospheric region of the earth, and they wish to possess mankind. The Bible also said that these giants were in the earth in those days and afterwards. Hello, Goliath. So that these spirits are still to mix with humankind. Now, when spirits possess a person, they have the ability to mutate the genetic code or the genetic DNA, which can cause people to be born with congenital diseases. So demonic possession, that's why demons love to target women, because they can possess a woman, mutate the genetic code, get into their DNA, and begin to deform humankind so as to prevent, which is one of the goals that demons wanted to do, to prevent the birth of Christ. But they could not do it, because this thing was written before, this thing was written in the mind of God long before, and salvation was not plan B, because God knows the end of a thing from the very beginning. So we know demons can pollute the genetic code of mankind, the human genome. So we understand that. We know that demons are still here today. Jesus said in the last days, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. We know in the days of Noah, these fallen angels came down, these demons came down, they tried to possess man, they messed around with the human genome, and they tried to possess man, and they tried to work in mankind so they could do the same deeds. And they want to do the same deeds to mess up the genome so as to prevent the forward mobility of the human race. They tried to prevent the birth of Christ, but they didn't. So they know they're doomed. They're doomed. Their time is up. And so now we have these same demons trying to make their appearance as UFOs. Christ said that the kingdom of heaven is within you. These entities are trying to make it look like we came from another planet, and that the kingdom of heaven is out there, when Christ said it's on the inside of you. And so now that we're coming to globalization, all you would need, that they're trying to take God out of government, because if God is taken out of society, then globalization, they're making government and central government the God. And in order to have socialization, hello Nazi Germany, hello communist Russia, you have to take God out of the picture. And once God is taken out of the picture, the government becomes the God. And so that as long as the humans and mankind is cognizant of God, there will always be resistance to that which is anti-God, to that which is Christ. And so the only way you can get rid of it is to kill it off. And so that's why it's coming into a day where you have to know, and you have to put your life on the line for Christ. You're either going to be with Christ or you're going to be against Christ. A house divided cannot stand. Jesus said, if I cast out Satan by the power of Satan, if I cast out Beelzebub by the power of Beelzebub, a house divided can't stand. I cannot cast out a demonic power if we're one of the same household, then I'm splitting up my household. But if Satan is indeed less than God, he is not opposite of God, because to be opposite, you must be equal in power. To be in a war, you must be equal in power. To be in a battle, called a massacre, because one power is greater than the other. Satan is not equal to, Satan is not opposite, but Satan is less than. And Satan is also being used by God for the perfection of humanity. And once we understand this and get this in our minds, we can begin to understand that truth coming in our life. We can take those shouts and we can transmute them. We can transfer them into experiences, into power, and use them for the forward mobility of the kingdom of God in the earth realm. Demons are here to thwart the purposes of God. Demons are here to blind mankind. Demons are here to mutate the genetic code. Demons are here to try to stop mankind from going forward and from trying to implement the kingdom of God in the earth realm. And that's why they're trying to come together, to cause men to come together with a new world order, a globalization, a one world government, so as to try to be able to control everything. God tried to stop one man from being able to control everything on the earth in the book of Genesis with the Tower of Babel, the word Babel meaning confusion, and he scattered the languages and scattered the nations. But people continually are trying to bring it back. This has been another strategically prophetic broadcast. I hope that you have enjoyed the show. Hope you've gotten something from the show. I thank you for tuning in. Bless. Again, go back and review some of the other post. I hope you've gotten some information about demons. I gave you some references from Win Worley, from Lester Sumerall, to Apostle John Eckhart, Bishop Bill Hammond. I'll throw him out there. I think I mentioned Win Worley. I want to mention Apostle Cindy Trim and Dr. Osaculio from Mountain of Fire Ministries, his prayer books. So those are some prayers and some things that you can use to combat demons in your church. Once you know who they are, once you have understanding of them, and I'll say this in ending, Jesus told us, I'll go to Mark chapter 16 to end this session. And I'm going to go there to end this session. Let me go to Mark chapter 16 in my Bible here. I'm going to end this session with this. Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to start at verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And verse 17 says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink up any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I need to point out the picking up of serpents and drinking of deadly poison is not to be done willfully. That is something that we see when Paul went on an island and the snake bit him, and the indigenous people of the island knew the power of the snake and the venom, and they saw that he did not die or have an effect, and they thought that he would die. This is what we're talking about when evil comes against you and tries to kill you, that the power of God is there to protect you, not for you to get up and go drink some poison and say, oh, it hurt me, so, oh, you know, God is with me. And having said that scripture, it says these signs will follow them that believe. Could it be that signs are not following us because we're not saying anything? You have to understand the word and operate in the power to be able to walk in that power and believe in God. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Mark also tells us anything is possible to them that believe. This has been another episode of Strategically Prophetic Broadcast. I would like to thank you. Be blessed.